Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, Pentecost Sunday, hallelujah. I've got a number of scriptures, but if you want a scripture to hang the sermon, I guess it'd be Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 this morning. And I haven't got a specific title for the for this message. In fact, all I've got at the top of my notes is Pentecost Sunday. And it's interesting when you think about Pentecost. I'm not sure how many people are aware of this, but how many people know that Pentecost is not a New Testament thing? But in fact, Pentecost is a feast from Old Testament days. There were seven major feasts, and out of those seven, there were three of those feasts where all of Jews were commanded to come to the city of Jerusalem and to celebrate them. We're going to talk a little bit about that later on. And so one of those feasts was called the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. And one of the things that they celebrate during the Feast of Pentecost, excuse me, I've got a bit of a frog in my throat this morning. One of the things that they celebrate or they commemorate during the Feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament days, one of them is that it commemorates the day that Moses came down from the mountain on Mount Sinai and gave the book of God gave the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, to Israel. And so when you talk to the Jewish race, when you talk to Israelites who follow their faith, they look at this as the birth of Israel. And so when they look back and they talk about their Jewish religion, they say that this was the day that the nation of Israel was born as God's people. Now the interesting thing about that is that when you go into the New Testament, and we read in the book of Acts in chapter 2, which we'll read during this message this morning, the day that the Holy Spirit came and there was 120 people in the upper room, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the fires of tongue came and rested on their heads. And the reason we call it the feast, we call it the day of Pentecost, and by extension we're called Pentecostals, is because it happened at the same time as the Feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament. And so when we think about Pentecost, we think, well, what that is, that's the day that the church was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But that's not actually what the day of Pentecost is. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, this was actually the birth of the church. And so what we find is in the Old Testament, the Feast of Pentecost is the birth of Israel. And in the New Testament, I mean, the day of Pentecost was the birth of the church. And you look at that, you think, how amazing is God the way he makes these things work? And so having said that, that the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, that it's actually the birth of the church, we don't want to neglect the fact that that is, in fact, the day that the Holy Spirit fell. But there's a reason that the Holy Spirit fell on that day, and that is if the church was birthed and we were called to a mandate. How many people know in Matthew 28, so go into all the world and preach the gospel, you and I, in and of ourselves, we don't have the strength to do that. We don't have the ability to do that, amen. And so Pentecost is the day that the church was birthed and the Holy Spirit was given to us to equip you and I to fulfill the mandate of the church. And so someone said this, is that salvation is the gift to the unsaved, but the Holy Spirit is the gift to his church. And I want to read one verse of Scripture, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 this morning. And Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Amen. So this morning, as I preach about the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to be preaching about the different aspects of what the Holy Spirit enables in our lives, but rather I just want to preach about the reality of the Holy Spirit even today in spite of what some people's doctrines might say. You see, there are some theological beliefs out there that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, were only for a short period of time, amen. But when you read the Word of God, we're not going to get into all of that this morning. That is just simply not true. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to each and every one of us, not 2,000 years ago when the church was born, but it's available to us today, amen. If you're saved, if you're born again, amen, there is a second experience of the Holy Spirit called the baptism of the Holy Spirit to enable you to live the life that God has called you to. And so this morning we want to give time to the Holy Spirit. We want to just park ourselves for a moment and forget the busyness of life. Put on hold just for a period of time all of that's going on in your life this morning. And can we just forget about all of that and just begin to focus our minds and allow the Holy Spirit to move on each and every man, woman, boy and girl in this building this morning. Hallelujah. Father God, we just pray right now. Lord, that I know there are many things going on in our lives and pressures and emotions and the busyness of life and the messiness of life. And I just pray, God, that you would be able just to speak to each and every one of us. God, that you would bring the peace of the Holy Spirit, that we could just park those things aside for just a few moments, that we could allow you to minister to us through your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, talking about the Holy Spirit, we need to ask ourselves a question. Just who or what is the Holy Spirit? Because there are some people out there that believe that the Holy Spirit isn't a person as such, but it's the power of God. It's a force. It's something that enables us. But can I tell you this morning, when we think of the Holy Spirit, the first thing we have to understand that He is a person. You know, when we talk about the Trinity this morning, we think about God the Father. And there are many messages about that, how He's a father to each and every one of us. You know, we talk about if you've been let down by your father here on earth, there is a heavenly father that wants to touch your life, that wants to help your life. He wants to be the father that you've never had. Amen. We've heard sermons on that. When we hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's very easy to picture Jesus as a person because He came in the flesh. Is that right this morning? But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, because we use terms like the Holy Spirit or have you received the Holy Spirit? Has it touched your life? We can in our minds begin to depersonalize who He is. And so we must understand this morning that first and foremost, the Holy Spirit is a person. Number one, He has intellect. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9-13, but that, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows, the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit this morning, the Holy Spirit, as a person, He has emotions. How many people know you can grieve the Holy Spirit? You can upset the Holy Spirit. We can please the Holy Spirit this morning. Hebrews 10:29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will He be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which He was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of God? Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Not only this morning does he have an intellect, not only does he have emotions, but the Holy Spirit has a will like everybody else does. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as he decides this morning. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 7. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Amen. And so what we need to understand this morning is that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is an actual person this morning. He's a person that has intellect, he has a will, he has emotions. We can please him, we can displease him this morning. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, can I say this? It's not enough to know about what he does, but the first thing is we need to know who he is. Hallelujah. And you know, one of the things that we can do in a Pentecostal church is we can be caught up in the gifts of the Spirit. We can be caught up in the things that he does and not take so much time to find out who he actually is. That's why I believe that Jesus says, you know, you've done all these works in my name, but I never knew you. You see, people, you know, performing miracles and, you know, supposedly in the name of God, but God says, I didn't even know you. And so what God's saying is, I don't want you to know just about my power. I want you to know who I am. We need to know who the Holy Spirit actually is. We need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He's the third person of the Godhead. Amen. And he's all through the book of Acts. I've just got a few verses here this morning, and there are so many more. Acts 15:28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit to lay no great burden on you. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts 13:4. So Barnabas and Saul were sent by the Holy Spirit. Acts 16:6, the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, so guard yourselves and God's people, feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. Acts 19:2, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And I could go on and on and on this morning, verse after verse after verse in the book of Acts. Remember, this was the birth of the church. And so the book of Acts is the history, amen, of the first church, amen, in the New Testament. And over and over and over again, they are talking about the Holy Spirit. They are referring to the Holy Spirit. Amen. They are spending time with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. He's a person this morning that we're called to know. And you see, this morning we need to value not what he does, but who he is. I remember a number of months ago on one of the news programs about a family that had lost their dog. And so I'm not against animals, but I'm just not a pet person. And so they're on the news, and so, you know, look, if you're a pet person, God bless you this morning. I love your dog. I just don't want one myself. Amen. And so this family had lost their dog, or in fact, I think the dog had been stolen and so, or kidnapped or something. And so they put out this reward, and they actually gave a reward of multiple thousands of dollars for someone to return their dog. Now, if that's what they value, that's fine. That's no problems. But sometimes I wonder, how much do we value the Holy Spirit in the church? Amen. What are we prepared to place as a value on the Holy Spirit this morning? Because he's a person that we're called to know, that we're called to have relationship with, a relationship that each and every one of us is called to value. And so that leads us this morning to the promise of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The promise of the Holy Spirit. John Bevere said, "The church without the Holy Spirit is nothing more than a religious institution." If we don't have the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, if we don't have the Holy Spirit moving in our circumstances, if we don't have the Holy Spirit moving in our homes this morning, if we don't invite the Holy Spirit into our workplace this morning, if we don't have the Holy Spirit in our church services, we are nothing more than a religious institution. You see, this morning, Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit. Amen. He promised us the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." That he will give you another helper. And so when Jesus is talking here, he's referring to the fact that it's not just going to be him. The disciples were being discipled by him, but Jesus said, God is going to give you another helper. Now, when you look into the New Testament, most of you would know and understand that the New Testament was originally written in the Greek language. Are you with me this morning? And so when Jesus said, "I'm going to give you another helper," when you look at that word, another, in the Greek, there are two Greek words for that. One of them is heteros, and what it means is another of a different kind. So what do I mean? I was listening to a illustration by John Bevere, and it's just so classic. And he was saying, I could offer Ken a piece of fruit. And I could say, "Ken, here's a banana. Hopefully you like bananas, Ken." And he could eat that banana. I could say, "Well, I can see he likes that." And I say, "Do you want another?" And if Ken says yes, I could give him an apple. And so I've given him another piece of fruit. So in other words, I've given him another of a different kind. That's the word heteros. But there's a second word, and this is the word that's used in this text this morning. It's the word allos, A-L-L-O-S, and it means another of the same kind. So I could say to Ken, "Do you want another?" And if he said yes, and I gave him a banana, I'm giving him another piece of fruit, but is it the exact same piece of fruit that I gave him before? Are you following me this morning? And so when Jesus says that the Father is going to send you another helper, what he's saying is he's going to give you another helper just like me. So in other words this morning, when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are filled with the Spirit which is just like Jesus. And so what this means this morning, and what it clarifies, is a scripture that would have perplexed the disciples. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't make sense. I'm going to go away and it's better for you. Now, there might be some people in your life and you think, yeah, I can relate to that. But if you've got family, you've got friends, you've got loved ones, how many people, you want to keep them close by your side? You want to stay in relationship with them. And so you can imagine the disciples here, that they found the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's discipling them. And there's a whole message in that, that in discipleship in the Old Testament, it was only the best of the best, amen, that were chosen by rabbis to be disciples. But Rabbi Jesus, he chose those that didn't make it. He chose those that had fallen away. He chose those that everyone looks at like, you're no good. We don't want you. And Jesus said, you'll do me just fine. And so here he is. He's with the... Can you imagine being with Jesus? You know, he's walking around Israel, preaching predominantly Jerusalem and surrounding cities and preaching the gospel. Can you imagine being there firsthand when Jesus heals people? Being right there and watching him. Oh, I can't pay my taxes, Jesus. Oh, that's fine, just go fishing. That's great, I love fishing. And at the end of it, open his mouth and your tax money will be there. Man, that's pretty awesome. You know, he's healing blind people. He's opening deaf ears. He's raising people from, and the disciples, they got the front row seat to watch all this. That would be amazing. If you're with someone like that, how many people, I don't want this to end. And Jesus says, it is to your advantage that I go away. That doesn't make sense. Until the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell. And Jesus lived with each and every one of them individually. You see, when Jesus was in the flesh, he could only be in one place at one time. So either he had to go to you, or more likely, you had to find out where he was and go to him. That's why I believe this morning that when he preached, people would get wind of this and hundreds and thousands of people would flock to the one place where Jesus was. When Jesus lived, when he was alive, people had to go to him. But now, and the reason that Jesus says it is to your advantage, is that Jesus can live in each and every one of us, in every place, in every country, in every time that there ever is. And so we don't have to go looking for where Jesus is because he's inside of us. We don't have to go looking for the Jesus event because the event is happening inside you and I this morning. We don't have to go and look for him. He's already there with us. Can you say amen? And so in biblical times when Jesus was alive, people had to go to him, but now he comes to us. And that's the promise of the Holy Spirit this morning, is that Jesus lives inside each and every one of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So let's talk about the power of the Holy Spirit as we close this morning. We cannot live the life that we've been called to without the Holy Spirit. I cannot live the life that I've been called to except that I have the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of you this morning cannot live the life that you've been called to unless you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And our text this morning, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you would have heard this many, many times, but Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you've heard it before, but for those of you who haven't, that word power is the Greek word dunamos, from which we get the English word dynamite. And so literally what Jesus is saying, you will receive the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit when he comes and lives in you. You'll receive the dynamite power of God when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but that's something worth getting excited about. Amen. Can I just put a, not so much a disclaimer, but can I just talk about that for a few moments? See, when I first got saved, when I was first born again, we used to be a part of a church and we were big on street evangelism. As we'd go out there and we'd preach on the streets and, you know, more often than not, we were a little bit unwise and we probably were doing more damage than good. But anyway, we'd go onto the streets. But there were a few guys that were a part of our church. They just had this way of talking to people. And, you know, they had these flamboyant personalities. And you know what I mean? You see people, they're just up and about. You know, they're not shy. And so I remember looking at these people and thinking, well, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, they've obviously got the dynamite power of God. And they're witnessing. They're sharing their faith. They don't care what people think of them. But, you know, for me, I'm more of an introvert. I've probably shared with the church before, when I first got called into ministry, I put off the call of God because I was petrified of public speaking. And so this morning, the fact that I'm speaking in front of you is a miracle of the Holy Spirit, because I can't do this on my own. It was years I said no to God because I was too afraid to get up and preach. And so I'd be watching people on the streets and they'd have these flamboyant personalities. You know, the ones, they're the ones that are telling all the jokes and everyone's laughing and they got the crowd eating out of their hands. But I'm kind of this introvert. I'm kind of thinking, well, how come I don't have the dynamite power of God? And if I'm not mistaken this morning, I've got a feeling that there's a few others of you in the congregation this morning. And we think that having the dynamite power of God means that we have to be this up and about, we're jumping up and down, and we're just making, you know, we're the flavor of the month, we're the life of the party. That's not what it means. Having the dynamite power of God simply means this, is that God equips you to be the person that God's called you to be. Amen. And so once you understand that and you begin to hear from God about what it is He's called you to do, don't worry about what the girl or the guy next to you is doing. What has God called you to do? And you may have this flamboyant, outgoing personality, but you may not. You might be the quiet person. But it doesn't mean that you don't have the dynamite power of God working in your life. Because at the end of the day, it's not about our personalities, it's about showing Him to the world. About showing who Jesus is. You know, Jesus even told His disciples to don't even begin until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God didn't birth the church until we had this gift. Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them, don't depart from Israel, but wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have also heard from Me. You see, I've already said it this morning that we cannot fulfill the mandate of the church without the Holy Spirit. And I said at the beginning of the message, I wasn't going to so much talk about the different gifts, you know, that there are many of them, many gifts of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't going to so much talk about gifts, but I want to talk about the reality, the person of the Holy Spirit. But I do want to talk about one gift, or one of the mandates. And in fact, we have a mandate in our church, Nations Church. It's lost, found. Disciples made and nations reached. That's the mandate that Nations Church has. But Matthew 28 echoes that same mandate. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But you see, we can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the disciples used to argue over who was going to be in charge, yeah? Someone said that was the first pastor's conference. Amen. Before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they all fled and left him on the cross. Before the Holy Spirit, after his death, they all hid. They went back to their old jobs. They forgot about the call of God. Before the Holy Spirit, there's 120 of them. Amen. I know they were praying, but part of me thinks that they were hiding in the upper room. But the moment the Holy Spirit fell, Peter gets up and preaches the sermon of his life. This is the man that three times denied Christ. But is filled with the Holy Spirit, preaches the sermon of his life, and the Bible says 3,000 people got saved. And you know, back in Bible times, they used to, you know, a bit sexist if you ask me, but they used to count people by how many men were there. So part of me thinks that, well, if there's 2,000 or 3,000 men got saved, how many women, how many children got saved on that day? And this was because of the power of the Holy Spirit operating in his life. I want to just invite the worship team just to come and join me as I bring this to a close. Because I want to read all of Acts 1 verse 8 this morning. And the Bible says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But there's more to that. It says, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In other words, the first thing that Jesus said, it says, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you receive the dynamite power of God, the very first thing that you're going to be able to do is to reach the nations for Jesus, is to begin to share your faith. And I thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. And we desperately need the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our church. We desperately need the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives this morning. We want to be able to speak to people prophetically. We want to be able to pray and see people get healed. Amen. But you know, it all means nothing if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, he will give us the power, the boldness to preach the gospel. And the good news is that it's still available to you and I today. Can I read one more scripture? Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Then Peter said to them, this is his sermon, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And listen to this. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off. In fact, as many as the Lord our God will call. In other words, there is no end to this promise. As many as God will call, that promise is for you this morning. Pentecost Sunday. Can I say this morning? It should be Pentecost every day, not just one day of the year. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.